Now let's talk about business structures, okay? You're not going to buy properties in your name. Don't do it. It's risky. It's dangerous. In fact, I don't recommend you have your own personal home in your name. I recommend you use a land trust or something. I'm not going to go down that path right now. But the most common business structures in this business are an S-corp, a C-corp, a limited partnership, and the most common that you're going to become very familiar with is an LLC, a limited liability company. Now, I'm not going to bother going into limited partnerships because, frankly, LLCs have replaced them. When I first started buying properties, I did lots of limited partnerships, but they've gone away. Okay, LLCs have replaced them. But I still want to talk about S-corps and C-corps because you could utilize them if you start a management company, a construction company, of that nature. But I recommend that you hold your properties in a limited liability company. We're going to talk about that. So a C-corp is a standalone entity. All the activity happens inside that entity. An example of a C-corp would be any company on the stock exchange, Coca-Cola, you know, big car companies. They're all C-corporations, okay? They pay taxes on the income that they generate. The biggest downside is that not only do they pay taxes on the income they generate, anybody that takes income out has to pay taxes on the income they take out, so it's double taxation. So, you know, that's a big downside. They're first taxed on the corporate level and then it's taxed on the individual level when the money's distributed. You do not want, it says any rental income dispersed subject to 15% holding. You do not want to own properties in a C-corp, so just don't even worry about it. C-corps have their place. I don't really know that you'd need one. I think you'd be better off to use an S-corp, which is what we're going to talk about next, okay? They are not subject to double taxation. They actually flow right through to the shareholders, the income and expenses, just like an LLC. You get what's called a K-1 from the S-corp or from the LLC that shows each shareholder or member of that entity what their shares of profit and loss were, okay, for them to go right on their tax returns. And another major benefit is that the shareholders can be employees in an S-corp, okay? So you can have employees and receive a salary. Any profit above a reasonable salary has to be paid as a bonus or distribution, okay? And distributive shares, another benefit is they're not subject to Social Security or Medicare taxes, which can be very expensive if you're paying yourself a salary. So a lot of people keep the salaries low and have more distributions to minimize the Social Security and Medicare tax. Okay, so that's an S-corp. S-corps are great for construction company. If you've got a general contractor in your family or you want to set up a construction company and hire a general contractor, as I've done, S-corps are great. Another reason you can use S-corps for a property management company. I've had a property management company since I was 18. A long time. I can tell you how long that was. It was a long time. It was a limited partnership originally, and then I may have done a C-corp for a while because I didn't know what I was doing, but now it's an S-corp, and that's what it'll always be, is an S-corp. You could do it as an LLC, but I recommend a corporation for an entity that's going to be doing business like that. I just think it's a cleaner vehicle for that. But now let's talk about the bell of the ball. The bell of the ball is a limited liability company, or an LLC. They have become the vehicle of choice for owning real estate, by far. They're easy to form in all 50 states. You can go online, and there are companies that'll help you form them for $90 to $100. It's just not expensive, plus the filing fees. Okay? They provide the same liability protection as a corporation, single-level taxation. You're not double-taxed. Again, the income and expenses flow through to the member, the ownership, the people that own the membership interest. They're all often referred to as a combination of a partnership and a corporation, because they're very easy to manage and run. With a corporation, you have to have minutes and have scheduled meetings. You don't have to have an annual meeting with an LLC. Very easy to manage and run. And again, they're the most commonly used in real estate investing. Now, when you form an LLC, you're going to do what's called an operating agreement. And I'm going to put an example of an operating agreement in your notes. So there'll be one in your notes to give you an example. But I recommend that you use an attorney to set that up. And it spells out who manages it and how they manage it. You know, it has each member's name and the percentage of their ownership interest. And it'll spell out how the profits, losses, and tax benefits are going to be allocated in between the members. And what's great about an LLC is they can be allocated any way you want. And why that's important is when you start doing syndications, because as you mature in this, or maybe right out of the gate, you're going to bring other people in to invest in your deals, and you're going to do that using an LLC. And you can carve up the profits, the cash flow, and the tax benefits any way you like. And we're going to talk about this more, but I'm going to tell you real quick right now. What's great about that is you're going to find investors that some of them need cash flow, but some of them are looking for a tax write-off, okay? And so you can structure the deals differently for different investors in your syndication. Some of them get more cash flow, some of them get more tax benefits. So you can cater to their needs and make it a win-win for everybody. That's why it's so exciting that you can carve up these things any way you want inside of an LLC. Okay? So like I say, very helpful when approaching investors because you can give some tax, more tax deductions to particular investors over the others and meet their needs at a higher level. So now let me give you some tips. One is keep your finances, personal finances, separate from your LLC finances. Okay? Ledger them separately. I recommend that you ultimately get an umbrella liability policy. Very important protection to have. You also want to keep each property in a separate LLC and ideally keep each LLC with a separate bank account. Now, with a caveat, if you set up a management company and have, regardless, you know what? I do recommend every LLC has a separate bank account, but let me get back to keeping each property in a separate LLC. If you're just buying duplexes, it's okay to put four or five in one LLC. I wouldn't put more than five duplexes in an LLC. When I was cranking, you know, with hundreds of properties, I had probably somewhere between 25 and 40 LLCs at any one given time that I was using to hold my properties, okay? And so, And why do you do that, you ask? It's the whole rotten apple theory. If you have an LLC and your property, let's say you have two duplexes in it, and something catastrophic happens at one of the duplexes and there's a damage claim from a tenant, God forbid they die or get hurt or something, and it exceeds your insurance coverage, or maybe the insurance company denies coverage for some fluke, okay? Whatever property is in that LLC is going to get taken and by that lawsuit. That's why you want silos. You want silos of asset protection, which is why I take asset protection to a whole nother level. But at the very least, you want to minimize the amount of damage that can happen from one property. And so, I mean, you could take it and put each duplex in a separate LLC. It's just a little extra tax preparation. But the very least, certainly larger properties, definitely their own LLC. Anything 10 units or more, always in their own LLC. Just trust me on that, just do it. Spend the extra money and protect yourself because it protects your personal assets and it protects all the other assets that are held in other LLCs. So you don't want to go through this, work your butt off, buy a bunch of property only to have some frivolous lawsuit take it all from you, okay? So protect yourself. This stuff's important, okay? Let me give you some other tips. You can also set up a holding company. Let me show you what that looks like on the easel. So let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's say that you've got, my drawing here is just beautiful. Let's say you've got six duplexes. So these are all properties, okay? And let's say you've got three LLCs. Of course, you can do any version of this. So this LLC owns these two. This LLC owns these two. And so on, okay? And it could just be one property. Maybe you've got another LLC here that owns a 10 unit, or a 20 unit, or a 30 unit, okay? What I like to do is I like to set up a holding company, another LLC, that owns the membership interest, my membership interest, and I may have other partners in some of these, but my membership interest in each of these LLCs is held in this holding company, LLC. Very clean way to manage your assets. It affords you another level of protection, okay? LLCs give you a high level of protection, but you know, if you get into a very serious lawsuit, there are attorneys that are unscrupulous enough that'll try to pierce that corporate veil, it's called a corporate veil. I operate on the theory that you can't have too much protection. And that's why, you know, this is a great model to set things up. And then you can have a management company LLC. Or S-Corp, okay, that manages these LLCs or manages these properties, okay? You can have a construction company, LLC. That's an LLC or an S-Corp, either one. And that's a typical setup. That's my setup right there. Now back to the management company example. If you set up your own management company, you can only manage your own properties. If you manage for somebody else, you have to have a licensed real estate broker as one of the owners or be a broker yourself. I forgot to mention, you can also set up a construction company as an LLC or an S-Corp. So there you have it. That's how to set up your business structure. And as I said, there's an example of the operating agreement for an LLC in your materials. You rock, and I salute you. We're almost halfway done with the training. Can you believe it? And you're here, and you're staying with it. Stay with it. Keep at it. I know it feels like a lot, but I promise you it's going to come together. The more you look at it, like my mentor Tony Robbins says, repetition is the mother of skill. Make sure you keep looking at this material. Make sure you're out there looking at deals. Get the process started. Do the homework. The life of your dreams is at the other end of this. You know, when you take action, and take action on what you've learned and start picking up properties, you're going to build cash flow for life. In the next module, I'm going to teach you how to do your preliminary evaluation and research on prospective deals that you find. You're also going to learn how to filter through deals as quickly as possible. Because remember, I said you're going to go through hundreds of deals. And you're going to learn to filter through deals as quickly as possible. And a couple of simple formulas I use to do that. You know, these formulas keep you safe. I'm going to teach you how to look at the worst case scenario on a property and see if it still makes sense. It's very simple. Then lastly, you're going to learn the key formulas that you need to know in this business. I'll see you there.
Don't forget, my team and I are here for you. If you need help or have a comment, be sure to leave it below. Okay, before we get into Module 6, I want to interject something that I struggle with personally all the time, and I know you may as well. It's called procrastination. Many people regularly struggle with this. That's why I want to interject a quick clip on that topic before we start Module 6. I hope you enjoy it.
We all have excuses for why we fail to push forward on things that are important to us, why we can't seem to take action, why we don't seem to pull ourselves out of where we are to where we want to go. Most of this is because we're afraid. It could also be because we're lazy, I suppose, or that we allow the world to distract us. There's so many distractions around us all the time with the internet and the media and social media. It's easy to allow them to pull us away from what's most important in our lives and what's most important for our growth. If we allow ourselves to be distracted from our dreams and our passions, they never materialize. So to push past this requires focus. And I can tell you this is a real problem for me personally. My story, and that is what it is, a story. Many of us have stories. Well, my story is that I move so fast that it's hard for me to focus. I've gone so far as to put up a sign on my office that says, I am focused, to remind me how important this is. Now, you guys have heard me say before that whatever we put I am in front of becomes our identity, and there's no stronger force in the human psyche than to remain consistent with how we identify ourselves. But I'm going on a tangent here. So focus is critical, guys. Turn off your phone and the internet and your email and get present. Get in the moment so you can focus on your dreams and your goals, the important things in your life, and get them done. It's also okay to admit you're scared, and that's what's been stopping you, if that is what's been stopping you. People think it's wrong to feel fear. Everybody feels fear. It's how we react to it that's important. It's okay to feel it, but then you push forward, you move forward in spite of it. There's so many fears, fear of rejection, fear of failure. But the reality, as many of you know rationally, is that 99% of the things we fear and worry about never materialize. What is that phrase for fear? False evidence appearing real. The fear won't go away. It never does. But successful people push through it. They push forward. I used to be so self-conscious and so fearful of rejection that I prayed the teacher wouldn't call on me in my grade school. Or I was even afraid of being late to class because the entire class would see me come in. That's how bad it was. I think I finally reached a saturation point where I said, enough is enough, not another day. And I pushed through that irrational fear. And by the way, guys, most fear is irrational. So if we want our goals and dreams and we want to live with incredible passion, we have to acknowledge our fear and push through it anyway. What if instead of getting consumed by fear, we looked at our goals and our whys for those goals and we focused on that? We realized we deserve everything this life has to offer and we want to make our mark on this world. And we use that focus to push through. What if we feel the fear and we say to ourselves, yes, I feel the fear, but my mission is too important. I'll do this work in spite of the fear. So guys, we're talking about things that make us procrastinate on our destinies. Another big one is the myth of a perfectionist. Many of us use the excuse that we're a perfectionist. Well, first I'm here to tell you, perfection is the lowest standard. Perfectionists say, I can't move forward because the circumstances aren't right. I can't finish this project because I'm a perfectionist and I demand excellence. That's why I'm not done yet. What's ironic though, guys, is that if they truly were perfect, they would say the truth, which is they're scared, or they've lost focus, or they've gotten distracted, or they'll admit they really don't know how to start and they're afraid of other people judging them or rejecting them. It's actually a little arrogant to try to put an impossible standard on ourselves and not other people. You know, people caught in this trap can sometimes beat themselves up for silly mistakes. So many of us put way too much emphasis on how other people perceive us and we fear rejection. What if we make a mistake or heaven forbid we fail? Guys, I've failed so many times it's not even funny. Anybody that's successful has failed many times, but they've gotten back up and kicked butt. So guys, let's realize that things will never be perfect. The conditions will never be perfect. It'll be messy and that's okay. Just get started and get it done. And you so-called perfectionists can tweak it and get it perfected later. Just get it done. Software developers release their software in a beta state so it can be tweaked and made better after the release. Use that metaphor to get completion. You can always mess around with it later. How about we stop pretending that it needs to be perfect or that your standards are so high that you can't start or finish a project? Just embrace that fear, like that comedian says, and get her done. There are always going to be things that we encounter in our life that push against our fear or get pushed on us by others. Don't let these things derail your mission and your pushing towards your dreams. Don't settle. Don't get distracted. Don't get paralyzed by fear. Take total responsibility for your life. And it's okay if it's not perfect. Nobody's is. So get busy. Finish those important things you've been putting off. Take ownership and total responsibility. This is Rod Cleef, and I'll see you at the top.